Good morning, and welcome to the conference call of OHB. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand over to Marco Fuchs.
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning from Bremen here. Welcome to the 9-month conference call of OHB SE. Thank you for joining us so early. We moved the call a little bit earlier because today is a very heavy reporting season, and so the slot that we usually have at 9 o'clock was apparently overbooked, and so now we're the early birds. I hope you have been able to download our presentation and look at our 9-month report so far. As usual, I'd just like to walk you quickly through the slides. We're here together. I'm here together in this call from the Vorstand with Kurt Melching and Lutz Bertling, and then we'll take questions and discuss the state of play at OHB and in space in general. If you look at slide 2, you see our business areas. This has been introduced some months ago. Nothing has changed this time. It's the space systems. The division mainly, of course, OHB System here in Bremen and in Munich. The whole area around 2,000 employees, so it's, of course, by far the most important area. Aerospace, the new aerospace, after creating the digital business area, aerospace is the MT Aerospace participation at the Rocket Factory Augsburg and our minority share, which is not consolidated and not part of the numbers of Aerotech, which is at equity in our numbers. And then, of course, our new area, digital, under the leadership of Lutz Bertling with OHB Digital Connect as the main company, about 500 people there and here. But it's important that in our numbers, we're still reporting identically in this year as we have previously done. So we have not changed the reporting yet. It will be changed early next year that we report in 3 divisions, but the current numbers are the old space system perimeter, and what used to be the aerospace and industrial products perimeter is maintained for this reporting year, so there might be a little confusion. I'll jump into the news of the third quarter. Hera, of course, we talked about it a lot. It's actually our cover story of the Q3 report in terms of photos. Contract was signed in September. I don't want to go through all the Hera story again. I think this is a very nice contract for us in many ways. It's a very cheap and efficient project with regard to the scope and the ambition we have there. So it's a little bit moving already in a new space direction, and we are very hopeful that we will be able to complete the program on time, because we need to launch in October 24 in order to be punctual at the rendezvous point where we want to hopefully then measure the impact of the American DART double asteroid redirection test mission. And this together, Hera and DART, constitute the International Asteroid Impact Deflection Assessment Collaboration. So that was very nice. On slide 4, of course, Copernicus is the big flagship program and the main order intake we are having this year. We signed in this quarter, July 31st, the big CO2M monitoring mission contract at a value of €445 million. Plus an option for additional €130 million, which of course we hope that eventually will come for a third spacecraft. That is the backbone of the European CO2 monitoring network. I think it's, in my view, but my personal view, is the most important Copernicus mission in terms of day-to-day relevance for the people in Europe. However, obviously, there are other Copernicus missions, and on 2 others, OHB System and OHB Italy, won the payload responsibility. The contracts have been negotiated. CHIME, so-called Copernicus Hyperspectral Imaging Mission, for the environment. I think the whole thing is for the environment, but it's nice that it says Copernicus hyperspectral imaging mission for the environment. Approximately 255 million to be signed very soon, actually in the next days. I think tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Today
or tomorrow. And CIMR, which is the acronym for Copernicus Imaging Microwave Radiometer, from OHB Italy, the payload, approximately 178 million. Contract volume to be signed later this month. If we look at slide 5, we are on a very good way to deliver on our order intake target of 900 million because we have another mission in this context. It's technically not part of Copernicus, but it's within this context, the so-called Arctic weather satellite of our OHB Sweden subsidiary. Proposal has been delivered and negotiated, and early next year there will be another contract. And then, if I just quickly add it up, 455 and 255, this adds up to 700 million, 800. Yeah, it will be more than 900 million because the small Arctic weather satellite mission is 32 million, so we then end up with 920-ish, or the 910 actually. Good. 910, exactly. Very good. So that's very important. Of course, it is the cornerstone of our order intake, and we believe also in terms of the topical or the activity in itself, it is very important for the future because the Copernicus and hopefully also the Arctic weather satellite will be not just those development satellites, but especially for the Arctic weather satellite, we are working on, and we're hopeful that this might result in a constellation of more satellites. Good. Quick update on slide 6 from Space System. We had a launch this quarter as well. Our ESAIL Luxembourg satellite was successfully launched on September 3rd on a Vega. There were a couple of delays with regard to COVID because Kourou was shut down, and then there were strong high winds, but eventually the satellite was successfully launched. It is working very well. The first phase of the in-orbit operation has been successfully completed, and it's now being transferred to the commercial operator, Exact Earth, who then will do ship monitoring services. So we're very happy with that. Then another mission we signed just recently, just last week, OHB Italy and ESA signed AB1 study for Comet Interceptor, which technically resembles the platform quite a lot with the HERA platform, so we are hopeful that we are selected then for the final implementation phase. And that would be a nice contract for our Milan operation. And in terms of progress on ongoing projects, we had the completion of the instrument test phase, the instrument test campaign for our NMAP satellite in Ottobrunn at IABG. You see the photo here. The photo that you can see here is the noise test, so it's the vibration and the whole environmental test campaign, testing the instrument first. So NMAP is approaching completion. Very good. Moving on to the aerospace division, of course, business is not as good as in Space Systems. There, it's well known that the reduced production in the Ariane sector is putting the whole European launcher industry in a difficult time. MT Aerospace, of course, is also strongly affected. The launch, the initial launch, the first launch of Ariane 6 has recently been postponed to the second quarter of 22, which, of course, means that also the following launches are delayed, and that, of course, means that the production of components from the supply chain of Ariane encountered delays, and that also hits our MT Aerospace facility. The ESA Council, however, good news on that. ESA Council decided recently, late October 29, that member states from ESA will be requested to support Ariane 6 program with additional 230 million in order to compensate the extra development costs that have been incurred. There are obviously in Ariane 6 delays in the development. There are obviously impacts from the Corona situation, but of course also the market in launchers is complex and is more competitive than it was when Ariane 6 was initiated in 2014. So there is a strategic challenge for Europe to look again to the business model, how to secure autonomous European access to space. Can you hear me well? There was a noise in the line. Okay, good. I'll just continue. Page 8, also from the aerospace division, our startup company, Rocket Factory. When I say our, it's not our. It's we together with the management team, we initiated it, and we're a significant shareholder there, but it's not consolidated, and we have no intention to consolidate it. It's going well. We are we made agreements with spaceport operators, and to be specific, we made an agreement with Andøya Space in Norway for flying there. That was signed in September. We're also negotiating with CNES for launch site implementation in French Guiana and Kourou. It'd be nice to have two launch opportunities. And if you look at the photo, it looks a little bit humble there. That's the test site that our partners in Sweden from Swedish Space Corporation have done for us at the S-Range facility. And the blue thing is our, what you can see there, the blue thing is our test stand, the engine test stand for the first hot fire test of the RFA-1 staged combustion main engine. That is under preparation. It will start hopefully late this year or maybe early, very early in the upcoming year. So of course a rocket is very much depending on an engine and the engine technology, especially this self-developed RFI staged combustion main engine is very dear to us and is very important for us, and so we are following closely that test campaign. Moving on, page 9, digital, the new business area, I talked about it quickly, had also a contract recently. So just a few days ago, OHB Digital Connect received a contract from the German Federal Office for Equipment, Information Technology and Utilization, as it is translated. It's called in German BayernBW, the German Armed Forces, for the regeneration and the refurbishment of mobile ground stations for the satellite communication system, SATCOMBW, the one that is in operation. So since many years, there's a SATCOMBW system in operation, and the refurbishment of the ground, the mobile ground stations will now be done by OHB. That was a competitive process. We were able to win it, so this is very good for us. It's a very important work for our team. There's a specific team doing that at OHB Digital that previously used to be part of OHB System, but has been transferred over to which we did some time ago. If we look, page 10, order intake, you know this chart, we're filling in the numbers here, so we talked about CO2M, we talked about HERA, we talked about the upcoming Copernicus, Chaim, and Chimbre missions. Of course, what is going on and completely open is the Galileo second generation competition. This is under evaluation now. Up to our knowledge, there are three proposals being evaluated, and one of those three proposals is from OHB. And it's our expectation that two out of these three proposals will be selected to build the next generation of Galileo. And of course, we are not aware, but we are, as when you're in a competition, we're anxious to follow this. The other activities I'm listing here is a combination of a couple of smaller contracts around the Ariane, Electra, the Lunar Gateway is being implemented, and a couple of other things which we name here together from institutional and commercial customers. So we are quite optimistic, and on page 11 you see that our backlog has already been up again from where we were before, so we are again above 2 billion, which is good, and we still believe, as you saw on page 10, we still believe there's something coming in. Good. So now let's move to the numbers. Quickly, the overview on page 12. Order intake, I just mentioned, it's basically at the same level as it was last year. Total revenues is down from 659 last year at this point to 600. Obviously, the reason has to do with some slowdown, some delays in the supply chain around the corona impact that we are all living through in the last 8 months. That had a very modest effect on the EBITDA, which is at 55.5 million compared to the 57.9 that we had last year. The EBIT is at 30 million. EBT you see here down by 26% to 24 million. And this all ends up at a net profit or an earnings per share of 96 cents. And I will come into more detail, but it's not a secret that the space system area performed well, whereas the aerospace division performed poorly. This is, I guess, very much expected. We can talk about the details. And I think, this is the reality of the situation we have. Compared to the headcount we had compared to last year, it's about 100 people more. We're now at 3,006. So steady growth overall, 3% over the year. If we move on to page 13, you see those numbers again as charts. Compared to the previous 3 years, the total revenue is 600, is basically falling back to where we were in between what we were in 2017 and 2018 at this time of the year. So you see an impact on the top line. If we look at the profitability, EBIT and EBITDA, you see the same. Basically, we're falling back to the range where we were at our numbers of 2017. But now, slide 14, that's the best slide of today in terms of numbers. Clearly, Space System had a slight decrease in total revenues, back to 493. But if you look at the profitability, it's quite impressive. The EBITDA of the Space System division with 53.7 shows a steady growth. It's more than double compared to where we were at 2017. Also, EBIT with 34 million is a significant growth and an impressive improvement. That also, just to be quite frank, had to do also with Corona, because the content, the supply chain part percentage is lower. So the own value creation de facto is higher. But also the margin on own value added, which we compare also over the years, has in itself also performed well. So the EBIT margin of 6.9 is a good improvement. It has some special extra effects in this. But of course, clearly the performance of Space Systems so far this year is very good, and we're happy with that. Moving on to slide 15, aerospace performance. And again, this aerospace performance is the identical perimeter of what used to be aerospace and industrial products in this year before we changed the numbers according to the three divisions. I'm repeating myself here, I know. Since it's also called aerospace, I just want to be very clear. Yeah, you see the top line goes down with 110 million, slight decrease, and it's even obviously much worse in terms of EBITDA and especially EBIT. So we lost we lost 3.7 million on EBIT level. That has to do with weak performance of MT Aerospace, but it also had to do with a weak performance in this particular time frame of our mines operations that is still accounted here. That was also weak. But obviously the mega trend here is that our launch activity, our Ariane activity, is going through a difficult time of transition from Ariane 5 to Ariane 6, which is obviously, if you have delays for a supplier like MT, a very difficult situation. Okay, now moving on to slide 16, the guidance. You recall that during our Capital Market Day on February 13, we issued the guidance as follows. The top line total revenues we expected to be at 1.1 billion, and we expected EBITDA at 80 million and EBIT at 44 million. With regard to total revenues, we now no longer assume that the guidance can be achieved just for total revenues because of Ariane 6 and delays in the supply chain caused by COVID-19, as I mentioned. Revenues we expect now to be slightly below 1 billion. However, the above-mentioned influences, especially COVID, will only have a minor total effect on EBITDA and EBIT. So it's not clear for us now to see the extent to which and if at all the actual results at the end of the year will deviate from our plans from February, because you see that, for example, the profitability of Space Systems is going well, even better than expected. And for this reason, today we can still neither confirm nor withdraw the guidance that we issued for EBITDA and EBIT. That is still uncertain. It sounds strange that in mid-November we don't know exactly where we've come out there, but what we feel is that there will be no there will be no strong effect, if at all, there will be a minor total effect on key earnings. This is our current expectation. I'm sure we'll have time to discuss it. I'm sure Kurt is eager to explain more details on this slide. Yeah, looking to the balance sheet, no major changes compared to last year. We had the normal increase of inventories that we had during the year. Inventories tend to be lower at year's end, and we still expect that. We had on the asset side, page 17, we had a significant increase actually in cash for this time of the year with more than 100 million. But that had also to do with good cash flow during Corona time, and also less cash outflow because of supply chain numbers being lower than expected. If you look at the equity side, equity and liability side of the balance sheet, page 18, we see that equity was up by 16 or 17 million. That obviously has to do with the fact that we did not pay a dividend this year, and obviously that we have been profitable. So this has increased. Pensions are slightly decreasing over time. This is normal because the pension system has been closed many years ago, and it's basically growing out of the reserves. So they are paid. Was heißt Rückstellung? This is provisions. Yeah, exactly. The pension provisions are slightly decreasing. This is only the pension system only concerns, or mainly concerns, by far mainly concerns MT Aerospace. Yeah, if we look at the balance sheet compared to year's end, the capital changes that we have over the year. It's maybe worthwhile to look at the following slides a little bit closer, the financial ratios. Free cash flow after 9 months, 19, was minus 124, and now after 9 months, 2020, it's minus 47, so we had a better free cash flow compared to previous year at this time. Net debt is also lower with 194 instead of 247. The net debt excluding pensions as well, obviously. So in that respect, in terms of cash flow, we did quite well this year. CapEx overall is slightly lower than last year, but it's significantly lower, even just half of own work capitalized. So own work capitalized last year at this time was 10 million for the group, and this year it's only 5 million. I see this year as a good number because we had significant own work capitalized in the past, and we are having a phase where this is being significantly lower than also significantly lower than the amortization on this. So we have a period where we are reducing this number. Looking at the charts on 20, you see the what I just mentioned, the net debt situation being at 194 million compared to the 247 as of last year. You see also that we had a slight decrease of debt compared to last quarter. We had the net debt excluding pensions at 88 million, also at a lower level. Going on to page 21, exactly what I said, the main message here is that CapEx overall is at the same level. It's very heavily IT-related, the CapEx these years. No concrete and buildings that used to be big a couple of years ago in Augsburg, but now it's a very strongly leaning towards IT and software. But the good message, as I mentioned, is the own work capitalized is just at the half of where it used to be in the previous year. Page 22, the free cash flow. Yeah, I mentioned that before. Compared to last year, quite good. Looking at the full year, the cash flow has been positive in the last four financial years. So, of course, it's hard to predict, especially this year. I think we're quite happy with that. Return on capital employed pretty much on the same level as it was before. Good. I'm closing my few slides with a look at the shareholder structure, which is unchanged in this period. The management, the management board is unchanged as well. Same four faces you see on the photo. And on the financial calendar, on the last slide, you see that all these upcoming events, Eigenkapital Forum and the conferences will all be virtual. We'll participate a lot, but it will be virtual. We hope that our Capital Market Day on February 11 will not be virtual, actually. We have not actually decided, but the current plan still is to do it. We have not fully decided where to do it. My feeling is that it will probably be in Bremen, more likely than not, because this is in a hopefully slowing down the Corona time, probably the only location where we can do it in person, hopefully, so we cannot travel abroad or anywhere. Frau Lilienthal is nodding her head, so she wants to make it in Bremen. I think it would be nice maybe to do it in the new Plato facility, and we can look at the MTG satellites there, which would be very nice. So I'm just, maybe we should ad hoc communicate this idea that it should be in Bremen and it should be probably in the Plato facility. I guess that's a good, everybody's nodding here, so this is an ad hoc proposal. And of course, we welcome you to come here to look at that, because you can see now and then in February very significant meteor that third generation satellites from there. Quite impressive. Yeah, the rest for next year has already been scheduled. No surprises there. Obviously, we hope that the next analyst conferences then will be in person also. And I'll leave it at this point and, of course, invite you all now after exactly 30 minutes of monologue, I invite you all to ask questions. Thank you from my side, and please start the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star two. For your questions, please press star one now.
Yeah.
If you want to ask questions, please press star one now.
We still have people online. Can you see that? I mean, the question is.
Yes, we have now questioners. One moment, please. We ask for the name. Okay, the first one, Mr. Richard Schramm from HSBC. May we have your question, please?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I have, of course, to turn to the outlook statement first. As you already mentioned, that it's quite curious that on one hand you say you will see only a limited impact on the earnings side despite clearly lower total revenue. But on the other side, you cannot specify this or give at least a certain range. So why is that? That would be interesting to hear.
Yes. I mean, I guess Kurt will answer that. I mean, one of the major things that is pending is what was announced or requested at the ESA Council with regard to Ariane support. That comes in December. It's very different than if it not, doesn't come in. So this is one major effect that is not in our control. We hope and expect that there might be in December a confirmation of this 230 million that was requested. And that would have a significant impact also on MT Aerospace. That's the one single thing that we cannot really predict. We debated that, and I leave the details to Kurt, but obviously the message should not be that we don't know, but the message is that we don't confirm and don't change.
Yeah. And the major uncertainty is the Ariane issue, and there are also some other uncertainties. One uncertainty is obviously the COVID-19 crisis. Since there are some productivity impacts we have in some and also in OHB and RAM, there are some productivity impacts, and nobody knows actually what will happen in the next 6 weeks until year end and what impact this may have. But as already mentioned, we do not believe there are major changes. We do not believe that we have major deviations from the predicted EBIT figure, but we know pretty well now in the meantime that the total revenues we cannot achieve is 1.1 billion and we will have at year's end a figure below 1 billion euro at the end of our forecast.
That's the effect of less subcontractors.
Yes,
it doesn't mean that we do less, but it clearly means we receive less invoices from subcontractors.
On the one hand, it's a major point. The major point is if you see, look at the details, you see the decrease of material costs in this 9 months compared to previous year, roughly 45 billion euro. And the other point is that the total revenue figure in MT Aerospace is lower than expected.
Okay, so I can follow that this lower sub-supplies are good for your margin, so the lower volume estimate is then compensated by the higher own value added and resulting better margin. But what has the Ariane support of 230 million to do with your results? So I do not get this. Is this because if this does not come, you might have to think about some restructuring here, which could bite into your earnings, for example?
We do restructuring anyway. I think what it really just makes the difference is if it comes, then it is confirmed that extra effort will be paid, and if it doesn't come, or if it is delayed, then of course there would be a gap. So currently we have a conservative management judgment on that, and if it is confirmed, this is positive, and if it is very negative, if it's below our management expectation, it's even having a negative impact. So we are making an assumption that there will be some monies are coming, and again, if compared to that, it is more, it's good. If it's less, it's bad, and it could be both actually.
So if it's more, you mean more than the 20, 30 million requested? Or is
no,
amount?
This breaks down. This breaks down. This does not come to us. This is 230 for the whole industry. And out of this number, we have an expectation. And we need a certain share out of the 230 we need. And again, if it would be below our needs, it would have a negative impact. And if it would meet our needs, it would be very good. But we made a careful evaluation of this question, but we did make a management judgment that we do expect some of those monies to come. So if it
okay.
Not come, it would be negative. If the full amount comes, it would be okay, but there is an uncertainty around this outcome. We are optimistic, but there is an uncertainty.
Okay, understood. And just can you give an indication what special costs obviously are in the result for MT Aerospace and the restructuring going on there? As you mentioned, that there is some other measures implemented over the last couple of months, obviously.
Yes, I'm not completely sure about the number, but it's a couple of millions.
Yeah, it's a couple of millions.
It's a lower million number, yes, but that is in there, yes.
So somewhere in the mid single digit area,
yeah.
5 million plus minus.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Niklas Mauder from Chevreux, may we have your question, please?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. A question regarding your reporting structure going into 2021, please. Have you already decided whether you will report 2019 fully in the old structure, or will you do a hybrid, a new old, and what kind of indication you can give us for the quarters to come? So do you have full comparability going into the four quarters of 21 that you can provide us with, at least on some KPIs? Thank you.
Yes. The intention we have is that we will report 2020 still in this way as we do it, have done it for the first 9 months now. We will not change it at year's end, but we will start in the first quarter with a new segment, digital. And then we will give obviously comparable figures that you can evaluate this in a proper way.
Okay, thank you.
Pavel Ryska from Pareto Securities, may we have your question, please?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. First on Ariane, and if we look into 2021, it seems that also next year will be very, very difficult. And even after the first flight in, I think it was expected to be in 2022. It's very unclear how Ariane 6 will able to compete in the new space launcher market. Do you think, or would you start to consider a strategic review of this business?
I can confirm that it's unclear. Yeah. Yes, of course it's unclear. But I have to explain that this is normal if you have a transition from an old product to a new product. So if I recall when it was from Ariane 4 to Ariane 5, it was very similar. That's 25 years ago. So it's not surprising that an industry that has one monolithic big product, if that changes every 25 years, there is an uncertainty in between. So in that respect, that is that it's expected and it's part of the normal business that everybody has who has a launcher that is retired and the new launcher is coming up. However, you mentioned that, of course, the market has also changed. It's true that Ariane 5 was very successful in a market where there was no competition from the United States at that point in time, and there was some competition, or there was competition, we tend to forget, from Russian operators at that point in time. So the market has changed from a competitive market, Europe-Russia, to a competitive market, America-rest of the world. And, of course, now American launch providers are very, very strong, and they are currently dominating the market, especially SpaceX is the current market leader. So this will be will create uncertainty for the Ariane 6 future. There's no question about it. But however, having said that, the European commitment to an independent access to space, strategic access to space, is very strong. This is supported, of course, by France, by Germany, by Italy, and by other countries. So it's clear that Ariane 6 will be completed. It's clear that Ariane 6 will be the workhorse for the institutional missions of Europe in the next years to come. Whatever, for the next decade, it's clear that Ariane 6 will be doing that. However, this is obviously a smaller institutional market than, for example, the American institutional market. And so the real uncertainty around Ariane 6 is if and to what extent Ariane 6 will be capable of also winning commercial launches. This is uncertain at current time, of course, because the market is uncertain. In terms of what you're asking, what it means for us, of course we think what we do with MT Aerospace. Of course the current situation is not good. We hope that the business recovers. We work very hard on the cost structure there. We reduce headcount. We reduce size and capacity. We invested in a startup like RFI to be in the launcher segment at a different angle. But of course, it is obvious over the last year that for OHB, the relevance of launcher has been decreasing because the satellite business, Space Systems, was growing over the years, and the proportion has basically changed significantly. If we would go back 10 years, the proportion between satellites and rockets was very, very different. So we are now, of course, dominated by the satellite business, and this is very nice, this is very good, and also the creation of digital as a known business area is a strategic answer also to the changes that we want to be downstream, we want to be in operation, we want to be in services and solution, because we feel that is a growing market potential. Launcher as a component supplier in the traditional way, as we did it in Ariane 5, will be a very minor activity, unfortunately, because the chipset of the Ariane 6 for us amounts to something around, let's call it 7 million, maybe 8 million in that range, and if you just manufacture 5, you can say it's 5 a year, you're basically in the range of 40 million production revenue. And this is for a company around 1 billion, is much, much, much smaller than, again, 10 years ago, the contribution of Ariane 5 was to the overall OHB group. So, yes, we are drawing strategic conclusions there.
Okay. Very clear. Thanks. And finally, just a short question. Maybe I missed it, but what was your order intake year to date after 9 months?
Order intake after 9 months.
Order intake after 9 months. It's not, obviously it's not in our business, in our documentation. But 1 second, please, you can try to check this.
You can basically net it out from first year to last year and then subtract the revenue.
Yeah, it's close to 800.
Close to 800. Okay. Okay.
If you add then what we said, what will be signed very soon, which is Chime 255, Chimwe 178, Arctic Weather, one more large governmental contract with the German government, which is in final negotiation and so on, then you can practically say that now we are already certain that we will be significantly above 1.5 billion.
Okay, that's very clear. So it's still your target, and you will achieve that in 2020?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you a lot. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Are there further questions? Further questions, please feel free. Kurt wants to explain his numbers more in detail. And Lutz wants to explain the order book in more detail. I love to talk about launcher.
Okay, so we do not have any further questions. I had, sorry for the delay.
No problem. No, now of course, if there are no further questions, I think just it says something about the quality of the already asked questions. So they were comprehensive, and again, I think obviously, we are around, and should there be more detailed questions, please feel free to ask Martina or Lutz or Kurt or myself. From our side, we would like to thank you, and obviously for your interest and support of OHB. And as I said earlier, we hope that we all meet again in person on February 11th here in Bremen. And in the meantime, I can just wish you of course, good health is the most important one, and I can wish us all that we complete this year in a successful way. It will be a couple of difficult weeks between now and the Christmas break, and it will be a very different Christmas break, I believe, for many of us. No Christmas parties, but still, I guess, we have to cope with it, and I can only say for OHB, we are coping quite well with the situation. I'm very proud of the whole team, of our people here, our partners, our customers are supporting us very well. So for me, it's a good chance to say thank you to you and to everybody around OHB, all the stakeholders, and I wish you a good day, and let's follow the reporting season and see what comes out of Q3 from the rest of the market. So thank you very much here from Bremen, and let's stay in touch. Bye-bye. Thank you.
We want to thank all the participants of this conference. Thank you very much, and goodbye.